I don't think he does inspections in New Orleans, but he does them all over the place. And James Buren is back. He's our registered home inspector and joins us at this time on Fridays. How's it going, James?
It's going great, John. Thanks. I did actually inspect a place in Orleans last year, and it was interesting.
New Orleans or Orleans?
Yeah, I was in New Orleans for a convention. Yeah, interesting.
I can imagine that. Yeah, I can imagine that'd be interesting for sure. We're going to talk electrical this week. It's a big one. When things go wrong with electrical, they can go, you know, very wrong. Mm-hmm. So let's assume a young couple's looking at their first home purchase, going in first look. What can they look for to get the ball rolling down the right laneway?
You know, this is the thing about electrical, right? We take it on faith because if a house hasn't burnt down, we're assuming that it's safe. electricity is catastrophic if something's done wrong. And we have so many levels of safety built into our electrical systems, right, from the breakers, which provide a weak link and prevent us from drawing too much energy through any particular circuit, through to GFIs and AFCI. So a young couple walks into a house, you know, flipping switches, checking out the rooms. Well, you know, your first clue there's a problem would be if switches aren't working and aren't doing an obvious job for you.
Right. So let's make it clear that home inspectors do look inside the electrical panel, and that's in their standard of practice, even though I've heard some electricians saying that nobody other than a certified electrician should open a panel.
That's right. We've worked with the Electrical Safety Authority, had discussions with them because of our standard of practice requiring us to do that, to open up a panel. I think I mentioned before, I like to do what I call a double pass, where I'm passing through the house two times, right? So from my perspective, I know not the face section of that panel. I'm not to the house, and I find a multitude of small problems or symptoms where I truly believe an electrician is required to attend to that property. I may defer and say, you know what, I'm on the panel because I...
Yeah, we're losing James there. Looks like we've got a bad cell connection.
Sorry about
that. Maybe we can, no problem. I don't know if it's location or batteries, but we've got a bad location here or bad connection. Okay, so let's go back at that one again.
Sure.
The standard practice and the panel for the home inspector.
Yeah, so it does say that we are required to open up the panel. The way I've designed my inspection procedure is I'm going to check switches. I'm going to be testing receptacles for grounding. I'm going to be testing arc fault protection and ground fault protection before I get to the basement and get to the panel. Okay. If pretty much every house, John, has, you know, a handful of minor electrical issues, whether it's just loose receptacles that are jiggling around or ineffectual grounds. Or, you know, when we're on the exterior, people have used interior wiring and mounted it, and it potentially is unsafe. Now, if I see enough safety issues that I think you must get an electrician in here before you're signing your waivers, I will mark that I have not inspected that panel. I have not, or I've inspected it, but I haven't opened it up, and I will defer to an ESA-certified electrician to do that step.
Which happens some of the time anyway.
Yeah, it's going to happen. You know, honestly, one of the biggest problems I find with electricity is when we go into finished basements, because so many of the people working in finished basements are general contractors, and, you know, they're handy enough to understand the basic concepts of electrical work, and they'll do the work in order to save the client's money, but that's where we're going to start finding a multitude of safety issues is in finished basements. So I'm asking my clients to ask for ESA, either, you know, receipts from an ESA certified electrician, or like I say, having them get it inspected before they close.
So tell us what you're looking for when you open up a panel.
You know, the most fundamental thing that we want to know when we open the panel is that the wires that are connected to the breakers are matched for size, right? We want to know that a 40-amp breaker is feeding into a number 8-gauge wire, that it's not mismatched, because that sizing is your basic safety device. So that's your first fundamental thing, is that everything's matched up in size. Now, and some people have seen electrical wiring. Black is hot. It sort of indicates danger. White is neutral. I'm always looking at those neutrals where they're connected to the bar. I'm looking for discoloration on that white, because if there's been any feedbacks or problems in the system, that can be indicated by discoloration.
Rust is always a thing, too.
Corrosion, dead rodents, bees nests. Sometimes the mask isn't closed up properly, and you'll find that hornets and other things have worked their way in there. So if there's objects and items and things that don't belong in the panel, that's going to be pointed out and recorded as well.
When you talk about a mast, you're talking about the service coming in, the power lines from the road, and that's called a service drop. So in what are you looking for when you look at, because you also look at the service drop, what are you looking for there?
Well, we want to know that service drop is first of all, high enough. If it's carrying the service over a driveway, for instance, we want to know there's 15 feet between the lowest part of that and the driveway, so that if people are bringing equipment or trucks or other items in, that there's not going to be physical interference with the service. Then the service itself, where it connects to the wires going into the house, it's what's called a drip loop, John, where the wires are spliced to the house service. We don't want those splices to be sitting at the bottom of a loop where water could be creeping in and causing corrosion. We want to know those splices are up. We want to know that loop is going to do its job and have the water drop off the bottom of the lines rather than going into the splices. And then that mast and any anchors, we want to know that those are secured to the house properly. And if the mast is penetrating through the roof, we want to see a proper boot on that mast where it's been shingled and joined, so we don't have water going in there.
And you're looking for a straight mast, too. You don't want to see that line too tight.
That's right. Yeah, perpendicular is really important. Just like with everything we're looking at with houses, we want to see plumb and we want to see level. You mentioned level last week. Those are really important concepts, because once something goes off of plumb, starts to tip or tilt, it's going to start to weaken. And yeah, if you start getting additional loads on there, like say some icing, that's going to make the mast more susceptible to failure.
And you also mentioned proper clearances. What about proper clearances from windows or over a pool, say?
Yeah, I don't want to see over a pool ever. windows, we're talking about a meter from a window, because, of course, people are going to want to get up to their windows. It used to be more, you know, with painting and maintenance and stuff. I think vinyl, aluminum, and cladding have really helped save us from those types of things. But still, if you get window washers are coming in with poles and squeegees and they're getting up near the service, if the service goes past a window or is too close to the window, we're going to, again, have a photo of that, and it's going to be noted as a potential hazard, so that the homeowner who's taking possession of that house, you know, manages themselves properly. Ladders, Christmas lights, other things like that. Cleaning the windows, repairing windows, they're not going to interfere with the service at all.
Newer builds are pretty standard electrically these days, you know, 240 volts, and it doesn't mean corners weren't cut, but it's the older homes, 1980s and under, that you see some inferior methods by today's standards, right?
Well, you know, this is the nature of safety, John. It's an evolving thing. Constantly, things are constantly getting better, constantly getting safer. So when we go into new homes, it's much more straight ahead. And I think, like you said, with studying electrical, learning how to inspect electrical, there's been so much evolution in the electrical industry and with electrical safety between when we started putting electrical wiring into homes with knob and tube to the present. That's the inspector's biggest job, is when you get into older homes, pre-80, pre-50s, understanding that what you're seeing in terms of repairs and upgrades have been done in a workmanlike fashion, and that you haven't had shortcuts taken. It would be really nice if they had to put labels on the panel to indicate every time a system has been worked on and that it's been safety inspected every time, because all work is supposed to get inspected. Even as much as a homeowner is allowed to work on their own electrical, they're supposed to take out a permit, and that work is supposed to get inspected. And I think, you know, that gets missed an awful lot of the time.
So if you see knob and tube, or if you see aluminum, you see an old fuse box, is the recommendation replacement?
When I see fuse boxes now, I'm obviously going to recommend replacement, because at this point, that panel is going to be so small. It's very rare you're going to see a fuse box at this point that is not misfused in some way. Like there's not a bunch of 20s where you're supposed to have 15s. And that's the biggest problem with fuses, is you can tamper with that safety in terms of the maximum load that's allowed to go out on a circuit. So, yeah, I don't want my clients to ever move into a house and be surprised with a $3,000 electrical upgrade because they've got an obsolete panel in the house.
So if you see an older home, say it's got 100-amp service or less, mm-hmm. you see pony panels. Now, in a modern world, what does a average home, 2-3-bedroom home, need?
You know, most homes can still get by with about 100 amps, like anything that's 2,000 square feet, under 2,500 square feet. There's enough breaker spots that the load can be distributed enough to get 100 amps. And as we've been getting more conservative with our energy and moving towards LEDs, we are obviously pulling less load from our systems because we don't have, you know, 50-100-watt light bulbs in a house anymore. But one of the things that we're anticipating, and with the OHI we had at our workshop, was we had someone come in and talk about car chargers, because if and when the automotive industry moves towards primarily electrical vehicles, and people are charging their vehicles at home, you've got 2 or 3 cars in the driveway, plus your dryer, maybe an electric water heater, a range, an in-law suite with a second stove, air conditioning, you're definitely going to need more than 100 amps.
And some other basic notes that you would make, ground fault, cover plates, mm-hmm. proper grounds and switches, that kind of thing. These are things you note in your inspection.
Absolutely. And what happens for me, John, is I find so many of these minor little issues, and I do custom handwritten reports and commentary. When it comes to the electrical, I tend to give more of a generic recommendation regarding what the problems are. And what I'll typically do is put a thumbnail of each issue that I've located on that property so that it's unambiguous. And when the person gets there and when they bring an electrician, they can show them these images and they can know exactly where to go right away instead of starting from scratch with an inspection.
If there are any questions, how does someone get in touch with James Buren, our resident home inspector?
Hey, I'm easy to find at thehomeinspector.ca.
Next week we're going to do some plumbing, James, if you're into that.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, plumbing, drains, and loose toilets are everywhere, so let's talk about that.
There it is. That's what we're going to touch on next week. Thanks so much, James. Thanks for checking in once again. Have a good weekend, and don't look at the sun.
Thanks, John. You too.